Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Haley Pearl, aka The Sound Chick, here. Today I'm giving you an exciting interview with two members from Half Past Dead. Specifically speaking with The Sound Chick today are Alexander and Megalodon. We talk about some exciting stuff like live streams, upcoming concerts, the band's new music, some core influences, and much more. So stay tuned for this exciting interview. Hope you guys enjoy. We're amidst the pandemic right now, and I'm sure you guys get this a lot. How are you guys doing?
Well, it's interesting you asked that. We had a big summer tour planned, and, you know, the pandemic sort of made us stop that, but we decided to shift gears, actually, and we're working on recording an album, our first LP, and that's just sort of been a different change of pace for us, but we sort of try to keep the momentum going in a different way. Megalodon, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, it's been eventful. Between members giving sing issues and all this, the album was just the best thing we could possibly lean into.
We had we had talked about working on it for a while. We actually had planned to do the tour, make some connections that way, and then work on the album. But I think this is a better step, is to work on the music. And what we've actually been doing too is we've been connecting with our fan base a little more, and that really makes us feel really good to know. We actually got some nice messages from some people, Amazing people, and it just makes us feel more confident in this release too.
That's great. I'm glad that you guys are finding that sort of response from fans and reaching out to them a bit more during this time. I think that that's really helpful. But what was it like, though, having this whole summer tour planned and then not being able to do it?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm also the manager of this group, and I do all the booking. So all that hard work I'd spent in North Carolina at my college, booking shows and making phone calls and doing all this, just you know, one thing can just take that away from you. And I know for a fact, myself and Megalodon, we were really excited to work on it. We had practiced a whole bunch. We had some really cool stage antics planned. And it was just like, for me, I don't want to speak for Megalodon, but it was just so gut-wrenching.
Yeah, I agree. It was not fun. it really sucks because it was the second year in a row that it's happened.
That's right. We had planned a tour before that too. And and that was just something happened. It was this, I call it the summer from hell, 2019. It was pretty bad for me, and I just couldn't go. A lot of personal things happened in my life. But yeah, so that was definitely kicking us while we were down.
Yeah, that had to have been pretty rough. Mm-hmm. I know you guys are in the Richmond, Virginia area, and I know that there was an earthquake that, like, reached the border of Virginia. Were you guys affected by that at all today?
I think I'll let Megalodon answer that, because I sort of in the Richmond area, and he's a little more south than I am. I actually wanted to ask you about this morning. I didn't get to ask you that.
Yeah, I didn't feel it over at work. I'm quite a bit further north from my house, but my wife texted me kind of freaking out because she felt the earth shaking.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that would probably be a little bit scary. I'm glad that it wasn't that bad, though.
No.
I think it was worse in the Carolina region.
We have some friends in North Carolina, and I got some texts from them saying, yo, the earth moved today.
That's crazy. You know, amidst this whole pandemic thing, I'm sure you guys are all aware that, you know, mask wearing has now become some sort of a political debate, which is pretty interesting. To me, what side of the fence are you guys on with that?
Well, I just want to go on the record to say that Half Past Dead has always been sort of abstinent when it comes to the political scope of things. And that's just because we just think it's weird. I personally think it's weird that for musicians to discuss, because I just don't think that we're qualified to do such things. But I just find that it alienates people. And but I will say this: we want to do everything to keep obviously ourselves and our loved ones and strangers safe. But I just want to go on record to say that politics is something that, you know, a lot of bands like to discuss, and it's just something that we never have. Megalodon, what do you want to weigh in on that?
I mean, I disagree. I agree. I find it just silly that it's turned political, but yeah. Aside from that, you know, I don't really have much of an opinion on it. I just do whatever I need to do.
I don't know how it is in Georgia, but I think in Virginia, our governor's trying to make it mask wearing mandatory. So I personally wear it in public, you know, just, you know, again, I want to keep people safe, but we're not here to say we're for or against really anything.
Right on.
Yeah.
I got you.
We want to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, no, for sure. In Georgia specifically, it's kind of crazy because our governor is currently suing the mayor because the mayor wants to, you know, make mask wearing mandatory. Yeah, and then the governor doesn't. So, yeah, the state is suing the state.
That's strange. Internal strife. Me and Megalodon, we're well-read people. And you know, I think we're intellectual people, but it just sometimes just, I can't even like watch the news. It's just so stressful to me. I'll just turn on like a cartoon just to make myself feel stupid so I don't have to really know what's going on in the world.
Same.
I mean, yeah, I definitely feel you guys on that. It's turning on the news. It's like one chaos after another, especially in 2020. It's,
this year hates everything.
I've been, you know, looking into you guys, and I've been paying attention to your merchandise. Mm-hmm. Do you guys personally wear any of your own merchandise?
Megalodon, I'm going to let you start off with this one.
I mean, yeah, I got the shirt when I joined the band, and I've worn it to the point where it's faded. One of our shows, I got another one of the shirts for my wife, and I've actually stolen it from her. So, I mean, yeah, they're awesome stuff.
Yeah, I actually had a hand in designing a great deal of it myself. And I just think, you know, when we started the band, we got a lot of crap for wearing our own merch. But I'm like, listen, Iron Maiden does it. And like, how else are you going to hear about it? It's either I talk about it a bunch, which I already do. You know, we promote ourselves. And I know it's become to that, to where I've seen other people wear it, where I don't even remember selling a shirt. I was in Virginia Beach and saw a guy wearing a Skull Clock t-shirt. And I was like, oh, all right. That's interesting. But yeah, I wear it every now and then. We, you know, just for promotion. And I think it goes well with things. I think it's very fashionable. We try to stick with neutral colors so people can kind of accessorize and stuff. And that's kind of been the point. I think that's a good thing in rock and roll, that it's always been a constant, really good fashion choice, you know, with the black leather or if it's a really cool lettering or whatnot. That all goes into account when we design our merchandise and stuff.
For sure. And honestly, I don't think that there's an issue with, you know, bands promoting themselves. I have heard that whole debate, like bands shouldn't wear their own merchandise. But you know what? Every single band does it. Like,
you know, it's like a chef that doesn't taste their own food. It's like, how do you know it's any good if you're not going to, you know?
Right? It can be trial and error. Like, mm-hmm. if you get the wrong, like, clothing brand, how would you know until you tried it yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes fans don't reach out. They don't give you that sort of response. So you need to test that yourself, you know? So I know that I've talked to Alexander about this a little bit, but have you guys seen any cool live streams during this time?
Yeah, we talked about, I saw the, Black Veil Brides Resisties Wounds live stream. I can talk for days about BVB. They're actually one of the biggest influences on Half Past Dead. When I started it, I saw the Knives and Pens video and I said, ooh, I want to do stuff like that. And I just love that group. They, you know, really stood the test of time. And, I'm inspired by the music personally because, you know, when I grew up, every other rock band, you know, really high pitched tenor singer, nothing wrong with that, but I'm a baritone myself and Andy's vocals are baritone and just really kind of gave me a glimmer of hope. Megalodon, I know you said something you saw in one of the streams.
Yeah, just the other day, Avatar did a live stream kind of showing off their album like a day before it came out. That was really cool to be a part of.
That's a great album. I love it.
It's so good.
Please.
Oh, yeah. Well, that band is just so unique in a, way. I love them.
Megalodon too. And I actually just, we figured them out before they were really popular. So we kind of had that hipster complex going, I knew about them before they were cool.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I also saw the Restitch These Wounds live stream, thought it was freaking amazing. Oh, it was awesome.
Cinematography just blew my mind. I thought it was just going to be like a camera in front of a, like a fixed camera in front of a stage. I was totally shocked. Really good.
Was perfectly done. I was really, really impressed with the whole production of it all. I thought the band worked awesome on it. But going back to some, you know, happier thoughts here, for when in-person concerts return, which band are you guys most excited to see?
I've seen a lot of bands live. I know Megalodon hasn't seen a lot of live groups, which I just find insane. So I wanted him to sort of give his take on that.
I mean, like I said last question, I'm super excited to see Avatar again whenever they might come back. You know, that's just the biggest thing. But honestly, anyone that would come to town, I'd be interested in going to see, especially any big names.
It sucks because we actually had, right before the pandemic hit, we had tickets to see In This Moment, Black Veil Brides, Raven Black at the National. And we were all ready to go. The whole band was going to go and some friends. And Megalodon's wife, we were all ready to go, and then it hit, and we're like, oh, no. It was just the worst. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, I was supposed to see that tour as well. I was super upset about it. Really hope that Megalodon get to see some shows when in-person touring becomes a thing again, because that experience is awesome.
Right? I'm such a shut-in.
Do you think that shows, when they return, will be different from when they once were?
You know, once it's all over, everything will be back to normal, we can all, you know, get into a mosh pit and throw each other around like crazy. If not, and this actually becomes a new normal, then it's kind of hard to say what might happen.
Yeah, I'm more interested to see how the venues will be laid out. Because we do have a show coming up, and our bass player just kind of played a pinch hit at the same venue. So I haven't heard that. I haven't asked them about it yet. But I'm really interested to see how they're going to reformat, if they even will, when shows come back.
Right. Since you mentioned that that show, we're just going to go ahead and dive right into that question.
So
you guys have an upcoming show on August 22nd. It's obviously going to be in Richmond, Virginia, but you guys are streaming it for those who can't be there. Are you guys, you know, looking forward to it?
Absolutely. We have been starved for, I think the last show we played was in Winchester, in like November, and it was a good show, but it's just like I've been itching to play, and I'm sure Megalodon, you have been as well.
It's
we're really looking forward to it, and I'm really most looking forward to the people that are going to be there. I've already been told some people that are going to show up in person, but I really want to put on a good show for the people that can't be there or don't want to, you know, come out, which is understandable, but I want to make it as enjoyable as possible. And we're very grateful to be a part of it, because one, just having to be able to play a live show in this climate is just so rare, and it's a privilege to us, and because it's all for a good cause, and it's just something that we're really passionate about. We're just hungry to play.
Right. I'm happy for you guys, too. I think that this is going to be a really cool experience, you know, especially since it's just for, like, an amazing cause, like you said. I mean, bands who support mental health challenges are, you know, top of the list for me. I mean, that's a key component in music, I think, especially within the heavier genres.
Yeah, it's funny. Originally, we weren't about that, but, you know, like I said, from that summer 2019, that's when I kind of had that switch flip in my mind. And all four of us in the band have had our struggles with mental health and these challenges throughout the way. Megalodon, I think he's been hit pretty hard, you know, because, you know, with his work situation and everything. And I'll let you speak for yourself. I don't want
to. I mean, just getting to where I am, it took every bit of me. I've gone through all those dark times where I didn't want to keep going, but I actually had speech from Rocky in my head that actually made me keep going. The life isn't all sunshine and rainbows.
Nice.
That hit me very hard, and it kept me going. So I'm actually really happy to be able to do a show that helps anyone with mental issues.
Right. That's awesome. So this concert, is it raising money to benefit any organizations that use music to promote mental health, like Hope for the Day or 320 Changes Direction?
Well, I talked to the promoter of this show, David Lane, and he's wanting to focus on local charities in our area, like Runway to Life, Richmond's American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and one of the other ones that he's donated to is his own charity. I forgot the name right now. Sorry, David. It's going to come to me in like a minute. But so we're focusing more on that. But in the future, we definitely love to work with organizations like that. I'm personally a huge fan of To Write Love on Her Arms and stuff like that. And but for right now, I think it's really cool to do sort of a grassroots sort of local area, because, you know, we're all about building a community here in Richmond. And because we're one of these interesting cities when it comes to music, that I think any sort of way to revive the music scene in this area because of this pandemic has sort of closed off everything. And everyone, I think I speak for everybody half to seven when we say that we're really honored to be part of this sort of forefront of revitalizing the scene, because when we started out, we were the young pups, and now everyone that was around when we were I'm not going to name drop anything, they sort of disappeared, or they left, or they, you know, they quit. But we sort of stuck it out, and now we're sort of the big dogs that have been around for a couple of years. And we couldn't be more excited to start this up again, and especially work with mental health. That's something we pride ourselves on.
For sure. So I know that you guys said that mental health is, like, I think, a new aspect to your music. Do you think it's your responsibility as a band to cover topics like this?
I'm not sure if I would use the word responsibility, but I mean, I think the four of us sort of just, when we write music, I know for most part, I write most of the music and the lyrics. We just kind of write from our experiences. One of the things that I think is paramount in rock and roll music is the honesty in it. And there's a lot of honesty in our music, and we just kind of write from our souls and hope that people can identify with it. And clearly some people really have, and it's strung a chord with them. Actually, we played a show at my college. I don't know if it was last year, I forget, but someone came up to us after the show and said they got a tattoo of one of our song titles, Love Equals War, and it just blew me away, because they said it really helped them get through something. And that's always been the goal with Half Fast Dead. When I started, before I even had a band, I said, I want to make music that can help people. And if we can help just one person get through their day, then our job is done. And that's so I don't know if it's our responsibility, but I think it's something that people just, it's organic about us, and it's what people like. And we probably won't stop doing stuff like that. You know, even if on the sunniest day, we'll always have something to complain about, because that's just how we are, I guess. I don't know. But I think people like that. And it gives them a sense of comfort that they're not alone.
Right. I love that. My favorite aspects of music is that, you know, I can listen to a song and I might not know that band member personally or what they went through personally, but them writing a song that is pretty similar to my situation, it's like, wow, you get me.
John and I, Megala John and I worked on a song together. I wrote guitar parts and lyrics and came up with the drum parts, and Show Me the Way, which is one of our singles we just put out. And that is, like, I think so far that's our best song in terms of encompassing the mental health aspects of it. And we both really like that song. That's in our, we play that in our live shows, and it's just, I think people really like it. And it's definitely one of my favorites lyrically.
Definitely enjoyed the drum parts because I wrote them.
Right. So obviously you've already mentioned Show Me the Way, but you know, one of the other tracks you guys released was The Evil That You Make.
Down to my knees. helpless and exposed. Bite your tongue, don't try to run. The song of crows has now been sung. Hear the cracking of their bones. The sound of laughter like a gun. The moon conspires against the sun. We're watching from the shadows. It's our illusion.
How do these two singles compare to the EP that you released years ago? Like, what stands them apart and makes them them?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, I have to say the production quality is much better. The songwriting is more streamlined. My vocals have improved. The EP, actually, Megalodon wasn't on in that lineup, and he has been in the group that we released that about 4 years ago. He's been in the group maybe, what, three, I think?
Something like that.
Yeah, and his talent just impresses me every day. Even as when he came in for his audition, it just blew my mind. He did a perfect, and I'm telling you, perfect by memory drum cover of Waking the Demon by Bullet for My Valentine. And we still talk about that. It's great. And I can still do it. I love it. So I think just we've grown up as people, and were good songwriters. The production quality is better. I picked up the guitar since then, and I've played the lead parts. And I just think that the songs are better, and people really like The Evil That You Make. I love it. It's one of my most favorite ones to play. I know, Michael John, I'd love, please share about your story about the drum parts in that song. I love hearing you complain about it.
Well, the first time you sent it to me, I listened to it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I like this jam. I sat down on my drum set one day thinking, okay, I need to go ahead and learn it. We're going to add it to the tour set list. Mm-hmm. And I sat there for probably 2 or 3 hours trying to learn this complicated rhythm. And every 30 minutes, I was like, there's no pattern. 30 minutes later, I was like, okay, now I'm seeing it. 30 minutes later, there's no pattern. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess that's the other part of it. In our music, I attend college for music, and my knowledge in theory and songwriting has skyrocketed, and I think that makes our music more intricate. But in this genre, that makes it more listenable and more catchy and more memorable, and I think that's another part of it as well.
For sure. It seems like you guys have grown a lot in terms of, you know, quality and talent of sound, and then, you know, you have a new member now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like you guys made some changes and grew, and you guys are producing better music because of it, and that's awesome.
For sure.
Do you guys expect more music to be released soon? I know you guys talked about working on an album earlier.
Yeah, we have Kiss the World Goodbye is our first LP, and it'll be our first release since 2016, actually, our first official release of any sort of project other than the two singles, which will be on Kiss the World Goodbye. And I think we talked about this in our group chat. I think we're going to stick with these two singles right now. But when people sign up to our mailing list and become dedicated fans, we'll be calling them dissenters. We give them a free download of another track off that album, which I wrote after we had to cancel our tour. We called it the Unbreakable Tour. So I wrote a song called Unbreakable, and people seem to really like it. They responded well to it. But I think we're going to keep that sort of like a secret exclusive release when they sign up. And I think that's because we're really trying to focus on this album, because Megalo John and I are going to be the ones engineering it. We're not going to a studio. We're producing it ourselves. Megalo John and I have extensive knowledge about recording and audio equipment, and we're still learning things along the way, but I think we can do a really good job. And the best part about it, it's free for the most part, and we can do it at our own pace, which really can ensure the quality of it.
Right. That always makes everything better if you can, you know, work at your own pace.
Yeah.
So I know that you mentioned that signing up for the mailing list, fans could possibly get the Unbreakable track, but what other perks do fans get from signing up through your mailing list?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when people sign up to our mailing list, we send them all personalized video messages welcoming them into the fandom of HPD. We call our fans, like I said, dissenters. We came up with that little name because I think it's just another thing that people can rally behind. We actually go in and learn their names and give them a real greeting. We don't give some automated thing. So far, it's just been really cool. People responded really well to it. We want to make a real connection. Along with that, they'll receive, you know, of course, the free download of Unbreakable. They'll receive early access to updates regarding shows, merchandise, new music, what we're all up to in our personal lives, among other things like that. This is a new thing that I just kind of came up with right before you called. At the end of each month, we'll draw a dissenter's email from at random, and that particular fan will win a free meet and greet with us. We'll send them some autographed merchandise and a whole bunch of other exclusive content. So we go sort of above and beyond. And Megal and John, I think we both agree that we've always been a group that tries to go above and beyond with our fans to create a really good, solid fan base, because we want people to get to actually know us, and we want to know them too. We want them to like us, and we really do like the people that love our music.
That's awesome. That seems very inclusive and personalized. It actually kind of sounds like a Patreon, but your mailing list is free, right?
Yes, it's totally free, and that's what's different. We thought about doing Patreon, but I think we all just were like, well, here's the thing. We're not David Bowie. We're not huge. And I think a lot of our audience, you know, especially right now with people being out of work, I don't think it'd be right of us to charge them for something like this, where we feel like they're going to support us. They deserve this stuff for free, and it's no skin off our back.
I think that's really pure, actually. Like, that's awesome.
Megalo John, I'm sure you can – I want to get your take on this. We've never been a band that's been about the money.
Oh, yeah, no, of course not. But, I mean, support us, please. But
yes, of course. We need to eat.
Yeah, we're definitely not, you know, straight up in this for the money. We're working outside of this. This is obviously something we're definitely into. We love to make full careers out of it. But as of right now, you know, it's mostly just for the music and for the fans.
Of course.
That's awesome. Going back to the roots of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through the process of how Half Past Dead came to be, how you guys decided on that name, and, like, day one. Let's start at day one.
That's juicy. Okay. That's a really good question.
I don't even know this.
Yeah. I was 14 years old. It was 2014. Maybe I was 13, 14, 15, somewhere around there. I don't know. I don't even know what I had for breakfast this morning. But I'll tell you this. It's I remember it clear as day. It was 2014. I had just watched a Black Door Bides music video, and I've been in some after school. I've been playing music since I was about seven or eight years old. And I said, I just got out of another band, and I said, I want to make heavy metal music, but I had no idea how to go about doing it. So I said, I had a list of names in a little black notebook of band names that I just thought about throughout the years. And Half Past Dead was the very last one. And that was the only one in that notebook that had any meaning. And if you listen to our EP, the title track, Half Past Dead, it's sort of about our whole mission with this band is to show people that it's more important to live your life for the things that matter. Don't sweat the things that won't matter in 10 minutes or 10 years. It's all about family, taking care of yourself, not worrying so much. I guess to sum it up is to say that when you're on your deathbed, that you have no regrets and you lived your life the most effective and healthy way possible, that you don't wish that you had spent less time working with your family, that you did spend more time with your family, because in the end, you know, we only get one life, and it's, we have to live it in a way that makes us happy. And that's sort of what I wanted to do. And I said, that's the name. And so I came up with a little logo, the little skull clock, which I didn't even plan for Half Past Dead to have 12 letters in it like a clock. So that just kind of fit in perfectly. And I said, okay, this has to mean something. And so I said, I started writing some songs that were heavier. I started picking up some drop tunings, and I got all the copywriting and all that stuff I learned on the fly. Mind you, I was like ninth grade high school, and I was just doing all this stuff, being the outsider that I was, a loner. So I just had all this time to dream about this and to do it. And then I sought out band members. And then, one thing led to another. I found that some people didn't want to do the amount of work that, you know, takes when you're in a band. Cause a lot of people don't realize this. When you're in a band, it is work. It's not all fun. And Megalodon, you can chime in on this. You know, I think being a drummer is the hardest part, cause it's just, you're an athlete essentially. And it's difficult, but yeah, that's sort of what happened. It just all sort of fell into place. And I found we have a revolving door of members coming in because, like Megalodon said earlier in the interview, just we've had people just sort of not wanting to put in the work and not wanting to participate. I commend you, Megalodon, for sticking by me this whole time. And, he and I have sort of been the cornerstones of this group. And it's just been, we now have a more stable lineup right now. And it's just, we haven't really, changed so much as I want to say evolved or grew. And I think it's interesting to see that. I remember when 50 followers was a milestone. Now we're almost at 1,000, and it's just, we have connections with Blue Ridge Rock Festival and all these other places that, that just really support us. And we're actually really happy to be interviewed by you right now. It's just surreal right now, but it's mostly because of our hard work and just, we didn't give up like a lot of other groups, and we saw it through.
At such a young age, and you essentially created like the name, and then you got to create the logo. I mean, you were so young. That's you put in.
I
so
always
short.
Say I, there's a lot of people in the scene right now where they're, you know, their parents do all the booking for them, which is fine. But I just personally think my parents were very hands off because they wanted me to learn it on my own. And we booked our first real show at the Canal Club, and to get a real venue to take a 15-year-old kid seriously is a lot harder than for a 45-year-old to take them seriously, because you're an adult. I mean, you look, and I'm 21. We're both in our 20s, me and Megalodon. So we're still, you know, we're still young. And I just think it's a hallmark to how dedicated we are to it. And I don't see us as anything more than just a couple of hardworking musicians that really care about it.
Yeah.
Well, I really salute you guys because, I mean, just like you said, yeah, of course, like you said, being a band it's a job. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. You'll get there. You know, you're not going to be famous overnight.
And we've always, Megalodon and I especially, I think the two of us, but everybody in the band, Mike and Jack, the four of us are always, have always been the type of musicians that we go, you could have a knockout show. And we've had great shows. We played a show, Strange Matter, a while ago, and it was great. But even then, we were like, we were pointing out things like, we could have done this better. This could have been changed. We could do this. We're always criticizing ourselves. And sometimes I can be a little overcritical of myself and it gets unhealthy. But I mean, that's what I had the other guys for. They reel me back in. But we always sort of find a way to say, we can do better. And then the next show, we hope that we do. And we've had really bad shows and we learn from them. And that's where I think a lot of bands sometimes they tend to want to give up. But us, we just go, yeah, that sucked. Or, yeah, that was really good. But we can always find a way to make it better, whether it's from the performance end of it or the music end of it. Sometimes we have technical issues that's out of our control and we have to learn to troubleshoot. And that's just something that comes with being a professional musician. You have to learn to do those things.
Something to prove. Until the next thing, the next wave, the next crazy comes rolling through. You made the front page a disgrace. What you think you're trying to do? You take the Lord's name in vain, so clear the way, cause we're coming through. Made you celebrate your sin like it's cool. You say we're insane to proclaim the King of Kings. You say we're all fools. You want your way or no way. You think you can just make all the rules. But there's one thing you can't change. It's Jesus Christ, he died for you too. Ready or not, yeah, we're coming.
Absolutely. So, rewinding back to the core inspirations to Half Past Dead, I know that we've mentioned, like, several times about Black Belt Brides being one of the inspirations. And after I took a listen to, you know, your EP from 2016, I heard a lot of similarities compared to Black Veil Brides Set the World on Fire.
Yes, I love that album.
Yeah. So I was wondering if anybody has given you that same feedback. Have you guys ever been, like, compared to Black Veil Brides musically?
I think from what I've been told, I don't know about Megalodon, but from what I've been told, that's the first time. A lot of times we get Metallica, Trivium, Nothing More, a little bit of Mice and Men, and all bands that we, that inspire us and that we like. Megalodon, what about you? What are some of your, because you're sort of a newer, you're not sort of newer, but you weren't on the EP. I wanted to, yeah, everyone to hear what your inspirations are when drumming and composing music, because you're also a songwriter too. We're working on some music that you've written for future stuff that we're doing. I just want to get your take on that.
I mean, when it comes to, like, drumming influences, I'm huge on Gene Hoagland. He's probably the biggest one. Thomas Lang is really big for me. A lot of those people.
I know you, of course, Avatar and Tool. That's a
yeah, yeah. Tool is absolutely probably, when it comes to, like, lyric writing, I'm very close with that style. Yeah, that's mainly the big stuff.
But yeah, I don't know if you've ever been compared to Black Veil Brides. I'd love to be. I think earlier in our endeavors, we did the makeup and stuff, but we kind of redesigned it. We wanted a more not to say the Black Veil Brides isn't authentic. They're the most authentic people ever. But our music is a little different when it comes to the flow of it. And so we decided to sort of strip back all the like a good chunk of the pageantry. And because, you know, I used to straighten my hair and, you know, wear a bunch of accessories. But now I'm just kind of letting it be all sort of a natural look, because our music tends to be very raw lyrically and musically. And I think that is what people are looking for nowadays. A lot of people, we didn't want to be a copycat group. And I'll be honest, when we first started, we kind of were. And I think, you know, like we both said, we're growing. And I think now we're just kind of coming into our own. But it's always nice to hear when we're compared to our influences, that just kind of reassures us that what we're doing is good.
Well, right on, guys. So here's a fun question. If you could collaborate with any artist, who would it be?
Oh, I'm going to let Megalodon answer this, because everyone knows my answer is Black Veil Brides.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's an easy one for you. For me, I would love to go with Avatar. I remember seeing them small and then just explode out of nowhere with some of their newer stuff, and it's awesome to see. And I've always been a fan of Johannes. His stage presence, his vocals, everything about him is just awesome. I would love to do something with him.
Yeah, I'd love to headbang like they do on stage. I don't know how they do it without breaking themselves, but I mean, I'd love to do a collab with Avatar as well. That'd be so fun.
That would be awesome. That would be sick. So when all is said and done, what kind of a mark does, you know, Half Past Dead want to leave on the world?
That's a really good question. Personally, just what I want to do, it's kind of like I said earlier, if someone can listen to our music and it can get them through a rough time, in a year, a month, a week, a day, a minute, and they can, they don't have to tell us, if they can just listen to it and it gets them through something that nothing else can, because music is that powerful. It can do that. It's the only thing I think in this world that can do that. And if Half Past Dead can write a song or an album that someone can listen to, and it keeps them from self-destruction, or it keeps them from you know, going off the deep end, that's what I want. I don't care if that's 10,000 people, a million people, or one person. That's all I want. Megalodon, what do you want to leave?
I mean, easily the same stuff you said. Like, when you go back to the meaning of the title track and the EP, it's like all the same stuff, you know, with life to the fullest.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Creating music to provide a benefit is always good. So, you know, do it.
Yeah, that's always been a staple in what we do. I think every song that we write, we try not to have a filler track. We want every song to have a meaning. And one of the things that I said early on was, if music, because there's so much music in the world, there's so many bands that pop up and go, and there's, you know, I personally think if you're a musician and you're writing music, write for a purpose. There's so much oversaturation. I think you need, it should have a meaning. And no matter how insignificant you may think it is, if it has meaning to you, it most likely has meaning to someone else. And that's what's important. I never really have been a fan of music just for the sake of, you know, just writing something. I think it needs to have some sort of substance. And I think that's what really sets us apart from a lot of smaller groups and groups that are,
and are rung at the ladder because we really care about the craft of a song, because that's what this whole industry is built on. It's not about your marketing plan. It's not about your look. It's one song. One song can make or break you. And if you have good music, then that's what people will come back for.
Absolutely. You know, the meaning is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. If you could give any advice to upcoming bands, what would it be?
Ooh, I'll have to think about that. Megalodon, I'm gonna tap out. Here, you go.
I mean, easily is you just got to keep at it. Like, you write one song and you post it up, and you might get some good feedback, 2-3 people, some family members. You know, that's great. You're gonna get frustrated. You want to see more, and you might get discouraged because, you know, a few months later when you've made a couple more songs, it looks kind of similar. You just got to keep at it. You just got to keep posting. And social media is always your best friend. Always go on Facebook, Instagram, even YouTube, just everywhere. You got to post it, spread the word as much as you
can.
That's a good point.
A lot of musicians, and some people we've worked with, Megalodon, they think social media is this terrible thing. And sometimes, you know, people can abuse it and use it incorrectly. But I think, if you're an aspiring artist, musician, actor, whatever, social media is a tool that you can use to promote yourself. We have access to the whole world now. Now, of course, that doesn't mean there's more competition because everybody has access to the whole world. But I think, yeah, it's an essential part of the music industry right now, and especially right now because, you know, you can't go out, you know, just, you know, things are different and people are sitting at home and, you know, some people are unfortunately unemployed. And so a lot of times they turn to entertainment, and music is entertainment. And that's a good point you made about social media. We've always said, let's have a good presence on social media, because the more people we can reach and potentially help with our music, that may sound conceited, but I mean, people have sent us messages saying that our music has restored their faith in music. So I remember someone said that a couple of days ago, and it's just like,
yeah.
Well, if we can do that for one person, the more people we can help, the better, you know, the more we do our job as meaningful musicians. I think the advice I would give is sort of a similar thing, is don't give up. But I would say, my personal advice would say, don't let people who don't know anything about what you do tell you what's right or what's wrong, or you can or can't do something.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Megalodon, you know, we've been told by everyone, you know, you're never going to make it. You have to do this. They tell us how to write our music. They tell us you have to be more this, you have to be more that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we're like, you aren't even a musician, man. What do you know? And it just bugs me, and it's a hot button for me, because it's like,
yeah.
I would never tell somebody, and none of us would ever tell somebody they can't do something. You put your mind to it, you can do anything. And yeah, it's going to take work, and you're going to get a lot of hate, and a lot of people that hate you are jealous of you, they're envious. And I'm going to say this right now, people that hated on us early in our stage, they don't exist anymore. They called it quits, or they couldn't hack it. And I think that's just part of being positive. We're all about, and Hefa said, being positive and building people up rather than tearing them down, because that's what you're supposed to do. Not even just as musicians, as good people. And if we're jealous of someone, we don't let that get to us. We say, hey, let's up our game. Let's focus on us. Let's not let this drag us down. And personally, and that just goes beyond music. That goes with anything you want to do. You go, I want to go to college. And someone goes, well, you're not smart enough. It's like, go study. Prove them wrong. And that's, you know, if you don't want to go to college and people go, oh, you're never going to get a job, and you work vocation, you end up, you know, earning more money than people that have to pay off debts. It's you know, whatever. Anything you want to do in your life, do it, because it's your life. Don't live your life for someone else's expectations. This is your time. And I may sound like a broken record here, but, you know, don't live your life like you're half-assed dead. That's what we say. A lot of bands say that you want to promote their name, but ours is sort of a warning saying, hey, the more you keep trying to please other people and not focus on you, it's going to come back to bite you later. And it's going to really hurt, because you wasted your time on someone that wouldn't lift a finger for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great advice, guys. So I have one last question for y'all.
Okay.
And that is, what is the craziest thing you've done for music?
Ooh. Now, okay, is that like in the name of music, or just that's an interesting question.
Like, for music outside of the band.
Megalodon, I'll have to think about it. What's yours?
Well, easily, my favorite band as of right now is a group called Archspire. If you're into death metal at all, I highly recommend them. They are amazing.
I do.
Yeah, they were just getting bigger. I think they've really grown right now. and they came to the Canal Club in Richmond, and they were opening for Carnifex and Oceano, and I was excited. And my wife didn't want me to go by myself because, you know, mosh pits and all this mess. And I'm just like, okay, fine. And I knew a buddy of mine was really interested in going, and him, his girlfriend, and another buddy of ours were all kind of hanging out. And I was like, you guys want to go to a show? So I spent probably about $100 or so on tickets just to let them go see it, just to go see a band, honestly, just one band.
That's so cool. That's dedication, man.
Worth it.
I think my craziest story, craziest thing I've done. I don't know. I'm not, despite, you know, what we do for a living, I'm such a boring person. Like, I get up in the mornings, I eat breakfast, I go work out, and I very bland. I read books. But I think my dad took me to a Motley Crue concert on their final tour. Alice Cooper was opening, and we were going in to the venue, and they wouldn't allow me to bring in, you know, I have a wallet chain, so people don't take my stuff. But they wouldn't let me in. And so we were like, let's just, okay. And they said, you have to go back to your car. And I'm like, all right. And then my dad was like, wait a minute, let's just go to a different line. Cause it was at the PNC Arena. So it was like 15 rows of people going in. And we just kind of went in, and the guy, we had a different person checking us in, and he just looked and he goes like, you guys are fine, go ahead. So we kind of went in there breaking the rules, sort of. I guess that's my craziest story. It's not as crazy as Megalodon's, but it's still, you know, I think that's rock and roll kind of.
What's up, guys? It's the Sound Chick here again. I hope you enjoy the interview with Alexander and Megalodon today. If you're interested, I would definitely check out their social media to check into their upcoming show on August 22nd. It's a show to benefit mental health, and I think that that's really great for musicians to get into right now, especially during this time. So definitely make sure to check that out.
For more updates on interviews or music reviews, you can go to my website at www.thesound-chick.com or follow me on social media at Real Sound Chick. I look forward to headbanging with you guys. Ah!